Well, the boss called me up and said, come in to work. I just hung up on that slave-driving jerk.
And now it's time for expert analysis from the best in the game.
This is Be She's Wrestling
with Mike Davidson.
I'm a former producer of wrestling, and I had to tell people, here's what I need in a promo, here's what I need in a match, and here's why you have to do it. You tried to be cute, you tried to be clever, and you came off undervaluing the guy the promoter is paying thousands of dollars to get into the ring with you.
Special guest star, the Mecca, Shane Madison.
Jealousy is something that the Mecca Shane Madison has had to deal with my entire life.
It doesn't matter, because I guarantee that the Mecca will win.
And producer Chris.
He's just a money-making machine, that guy. As somebody who's featured regularly on their program, I don't think he's going to be able to take enough time away from his other adventures. The guy is a mogul.
And now,
She's Wrestling.
It is amazing how independent wrestling, especially in Winnipeg, is on fire right now. It is exciting. It is challenging. It is everything that a wrestling fan should want if they're following their favorite brand of wrestling in any market. But let's talk Winnipeg this week on Be She's Wrestling.
We're getting right into it.
It's like old school. Shane Madison is off training for a big match at the Wrestling United and probably CWE too, because he's got some big matches coming up there. WPW announced this week, thanks to a torn pectoral muscle for Matt Cardona, he would be pulling out of the event.
Yeah, it's too bad for everybody, but for him specifically. Like, he's been going pretty hard for a lot of years.
I think for 600 people who bought tickets, that was kind of disappointing. But the one good thing is, for WPW, it is very stressful when a talent that's kind of the big deal ends up having to pull out with 2 weeks or 3 weeks left until the date. It can be challenging. But because WPW has such a strong track record of really delivering great results to their fan base, the fan base was pretty patient with them. It wasn't like, oh no, you know, I bought this ticket specifically and only because Matt Cardona's coming. It was, hey, I want to get the WPW yes. ticket to Fight at the Museum. Last week I called it Night at the Museum. It's Fight at the Museum. I want to get my ticket to Fight at the Museum because it's the one of the two big events that WPW does every year, that and Rumble at the Burt. So their fan base, 600, they all bought tickets within 80 minutes of him going on sale.
Yep, all gone.
And the fan base is very comfortable and patient, knowing, okay, it's not their fault Matt Cardona has a pulled pectoral or torn pectoral muscle. It didn't happen in a WPW ring. It's unfortunate. It probably means Cardona is going to come back a little bit later. So what does WPW do with that time? Now, WPW doesn't have to offer you anything. They could say, you know what?
Offer a refund and that's it.
You want a refund? Have it. We're going to go with the crew we've got, but that's not what they did. They said, hey, everybody, we're working on a suitable replacement. As of the time we record this podcast, they haven't announced that replacement. But hey, we're working on a replacement. It's going to be someone really good. And I can't wait to see who they announce. I've got some guesses. I'm not going to drop them on the podcast.
Well, that's an interesting point, too, to really circle back to, is the fact that WPW can do that. I mean, it wasn't their fault, but they could do that where the name can't show up. And their fans are going to be like, yep, it's totally fine. We'll wait until, because they've built up that goodwill with the fans by not taking advantage of.
Devin and Ben, two of the most honest promoters I've ever come across, are going to sit there and they're going to say, hey, our credibility, our long-term vision, let's really make a statement here. And I can't wait till they announce it. Probably by the time you're listening to this, it's been announced.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
So imagine this. I am talking on Thursday night. You are listening on Mondays. Now, I believe so wholeheartedly in Devin and Ben as the promoters of WPW that I know they're going to do something that just drops jaws.
Yes.
And so, listen, that's how much faith I have in a counterpart in the Winnipeg wrestling scene as a promoter. My counterpart, not my competitor, my counterpart.
That's an important distinction.
Very important distinction. So good luck to WPW. And any fan that saw, hey, if you want a refund, hit us up. Any fan that went and sought that refund, come on now, give your head a shake. Because what I said last week was a very good point. WPW didn't get Matt Cardona and say, okay, we're going to put him in there with AJ or we're going to put him in there with any. They said, we already have angles that people care about with Tyler Colton against James Roth for the WPW heavyweight title. That's Tyler Colton's defense. Then they announced Chad Daniels versus AJ Sanchez in a dog collar match.
That'll be great.
Oh, yes.
That's going to be so good.
You better believe it. This Sunday is going to be something else. And then they had Matt Cardona versus Josh Alexander. So now the spot against Josh Alexander is wide open. And that is very intriguing to me.
For sure.
So major kudos, huge credits to WPW because they did it right. And that's why their fans are sitting there saying, hey, you know, it sucks that Matt Cardona is not going to come to Winnipeg, but the right company is sitting there finding his replacement.
I got an interesting sidebar for you then while we're at it. Josh Alexander, without a dance partner, you've seen Josh Alexander several times. You've seen a lot of his YouTube. You know what he does in the ring.
I've seen his TNA stuff.
Who would you put him in locally if you could put him in with anybody? Let's just imagine.
Locally?
Yeah, imagine any of the lines could be crossed. For local companies, you want to put Josh Alexander in the ring with a local guy. Who do you think could have a bang-up match with him? And you can't say Mentolo or AJ.
Well, there's several, actually, that would be good with
because Mentolo would be the first guy I'd go to personally as well, but I think that's who everybody's going to in their head.
Josh is I think Josh is a baby face. So that opens up your field, your range of heels.
Yeah.
I think I would go with, I know what we did with Wrestling United, and we'll talk about that in a moment.
Interesting.
So you'd go with someone local. I guess I'd fly in. No, I guess you want local.
Yeah, local. Well, let's say you could fly somebody
ATM.
In.
ATM. Well, no, but the spot isn't against the local. The spot is they're going to replace Matt Cardona.
I know. I'm just saying if you could choose a local, ATM is a good choice.
ATM would be a good one. Tommy Lee Curtis would be a great one. Danny Duggan would be a good one.
For Josh Alexander, that would be a really good match, Duggan.
He hasn't worked at many WPW events.
Interesting.
So getting him to cross, although, you know, I know why the delicate balance can be sometimes, but there's options. It's not bad. Like,
yeah.
The thing is, it's going to be somebody else. It's going to be somebody that has huge presence, whether that's...
Yeah, you know, it's not going to be, whatever. But it was just an interesting thought I had while we were going, because I was like, you know, there's a lot of guys that could mesh. Even Chiseled Chad Daniels, that might...
But he's in the dog collar match, which is going to be...
He can't do that.
What I'm going to be interested to see, because I don't think AJ Sanchez has ever gotten a lot... He's not a bleeder. And I doubt Chad Daniels is a bleeder. How are they going to do a dog collar match? Are they going to have blood?
I don't think you can do a dog collar match without. I mean, you can, but I don't think
that's an old school way of thinking, and it may be flawed and antiquated.
Yeah.
I think you can, but I think like my first thought was dog collar match. I bet you they're going to bleed.
To me, you got to in a dog collar match. No. You got to bleed. It's old and antiquated. Otherwise, you've got to. It's almost like you got to crank up the notch a little bit higher. If they don't bleed, then they got to do other things to really, like, lots of choking spots. Maybe a guy over the top rope with the chain around his neck just to get.
Oh, that's a lot too.
Yeah, but just to get it over, if you're not going to bleed, to get it over is a vicious contest.
I will tell you something about Devin and Ben as creative forces. They know exactly when they made that a dog collar match, they had an idea of what they wanted to do.
Absolutely.
And it's going to work. I was asked something, and it was actually going to be a mailbag question, but I thought it was because it requires me as the promoter and founder of Wrestling United to speak potentially that sounds like a competitor. So I'm going to answer the question now as I speak of the competitor. And it's not a competitor. WPW might look at Wrestling United as someone trying to compete with them, but Wrestling United isn't sitting there going, hey, we want to compete with WPW. Let me make that clear.
I doubt WPW is that worried, given what they're doing. I have my doubts.
So somebody said, how would Mike Davidson handle it if his feature talent, the ringer that he's bringing in, pulled up injured or couldn't make it to Winnipeg? How would he book around it? Well, it happened to me in 2005 with Lex Luger, who couldn't come in. And Lex and Scott Steiner were going to be in the main event. It was actually going to be the Steiner brothers versus Lex and Buck Bagwell. And Lex didn't make it in. And unfortunately, I had, I think, 24-hour notice to try to fix it. And I tried. But on 24 hours, you can't.
No.
You just can't.
It's really not.
If I had had 2 weeks, there was options. But I don't know how great those options were. So if I was in their position right now and I've got 2 or 3 weeks, the first thing I'm thinking about is, okay, I owe the fans something, right? So I would be sitting there thinking, okay, it maybe can't be as good as Matt Cardona, and it may, but it can't be so, it can't be so different that it's bad.
Right.
So I would, it would be a tough decision.
Would you ask Matt Cardona? I've heard of guys doing that before. Like, hey, who would you recommend as your replacement?
Yeah, I probably would ask him, or I would, I would probably ask him.
With an intimate, knowledge of the Indies. And I mean, he's got North American knowledge.
What I know from my conversations with Devin, and I have a very good relationship with Devin, is that this guy has like ideas for 6 months, 8 months down the road. And he's like constantly working on the talent. So he probably had four or five people right away that he thought about.
Yeah.
And then you're in that position where you're like, okay, well, which one's the right one, right? So, yeah, give him credit, but that's where WPW is at, going into fight at the museum. Last week I got it dead wrong. And let's talk about Primos.
Yes.
Who had to change venues on 1 week's notice going into Splatterhouse 2. They couldn't go into the Chinese Cultural Center because the floor wasn't done. So then I've heard a funny story about how they called another promoter's venue and said, oh, he's our friend, he won't mind. And, that was kind of an interesting approach. But Primos then had to go back to the Fort Rouge United Church.
Right.
Which is, we said it going into the last show, nice looking venue. I think you need to have a certain amount of fans for it to be a great experience, a great atmosphere.
They do a lot of, this is just a really big major sidebar, but they do a lot of different things at that church.
Yeah.
Like not only that, like I looked it up after because I was like, church and wrestling is not that far apart. Like my first training in a ring was in the basement of a church in St. Boniface, and it's not that big a stretch.
Who was training you?
Well, Rob Stardom, but it was Wayne Stanton's ring.
Okay.
When he used to run the, I can't remember.
Was this 2005 or 6? No.
Earlier than that. 2004.
Okay.
Yeah, right around then. But I love the venue. I love the pictures I've seen. Like, and I don't know, do you get any sort of like old school, I know it's a church, but do you ever get an old school ECW vibe out of that venue with the, it just seems to be, you've got the side things up top. You know what I'm talking about? The balconies.
Yeah, when I saw
side
it. Things. Yeah, an idiot. When I saw it, I thought, okay, every venue has a magic number for when that venue becomes beautiful.
Yeah.
So let this be a message to you, independent wrestling fans. You got to buy the ticket to make the venue great, to make the event even better. But there's a magic number in any venue. And in that venue, I wouldn't be surprised if it's about 150 to 200.
I would say so,
when that venue just has a life of its own. Anybody that's been to a wrestling show knows there's that happy, that sweet spot where a crowd takes a life of its own. I saw it back in the day with Palladium Nightclub and the Stratosphere and the Lid. Once you got over that venue, because of the way it was a square around the ring,
yeah,
it didn't take a lot at that venue. 125 was electric. 150 was, and we were getting into 300 and 400. When you get 300 or 400, you couldn't move in that venue. The wrestlers had a trouble getting to the ring. And I've seen that. I saw that venue full probably 5-6 times like that. So I think, For Primos and making the venue electric like that, they're going to have a challenge here. And the challenge is you only had a week to tell people, hey, we're not where we told you we're going to be. We're at this venue. And I really am pulling for them in that situation, because I'll tell you, there is always something underneath the layer with Primos that makes you go, okay, this is part of why they struggle. But the things that they try to do, if they could just get a little bit of luck, they would be fine.
Yeah, they just need a foothold for once. Like,
and a lot of people will point a finger of blame, or they'll say, well, this or that.
There's plenty of blame to go around, but let's look at different areas.
The promoter, who's a polarizing figure,
mm-hmm.
He works hard. He tries to be creative. Billy Blaze, and I traded messages with Billy this week. Billy is really trying to be responsible, trying to be a leader, trying to bring guys along, and at the same time, utilize other resources available to him, like some of the CWE guys.
Yeah, he'll pull in a couple of those, and they'll pull in a couple from here and from there, and that's really what Primos needed, was to pull in a couple of guys from here, a couple of guys from there, and really tighten up that roster.
I wonder how they drew, obviously it's Thursday, you guys are listening Monday, you know how it drew, but I wonder how they drew Friday night, because I know that they really put a lot of effort into it, kudos to them for that. Danny, well,
let's ask you one more thing before we move on, because you kind of mentioned how you've had talents drop out before. Have you ever had a venue drop out in short notice like that? Because that's going to be really hard.
No, I've been very fortunate that way. I'll tell you, there was two really tough horror stories that I dealt with. Going into the 2002 Boiling Point show, or was it Summer Heat? No, it was Summer PCW's Boiling Point. And it was at the CanWest Global Ballpark, which is now Blue Cross Field, where the Goldeyes play.
Right.
And we worried if it rained, what was the plan B? And plan B was that we would go to the Burton Cummings Theater, which I think still might have been the Walker Theater in 2002.
I believe you're right.
But yep. We didn't have to because we got good weather. And I remember being very on edge about that. And that was really tough. But, And then the other time was when we did the Marlboro with the Jerry Lawler show in 2008, January 2008. We found out the morning of the ring doesn't fit in the venue.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. The pieces are too big for the cargo elevator.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't fit on the back staircase. You can't get your ring in. Do you know what happened? This is amazing. Nobody has ever heard this
story. No, this is a good story.
We cut 18-foot pieces of metal in half and hired a welder to weld the ring back together.
Oh, my God.
True story.
That's crazy.
True story.
You got to do what you got to do, but...
Mike Arnott was on that ring crew. He probably remembers that, and so was, I can't remember who else was on that ring crew, but they got to the venue, and there was no way to get it. I remember getting the call. It was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And we had an afternoon pre-show party at Grapes and a post-game party. So it was a wraparound event. A lot of people actually came for this. All the wrestlers were going to be there because we were going to draw the balls for the Rumble that night. And I get a call at 1 o'clock, and it's my assistant at the time was a female named Shelley. And she called me and she said, "Hey, apparently the ring's not going to fit in." I said, "Impossible. Every venue I've ever run, the ring fits in. There's a way." She said, "I don't think there's a way." And then Jeff called me and he's like, "Hey," and this ring was practically brand new. I think it had only been used on one or two shows. And Jeff called me and he's like, Jeff Dick calls and he said, "Hey, they can't get the ring in. They're going to have to, there is an option, but it's the worst option in the world." And I said, "Hold on." And I called Tony Condello, and Tony Condello called the owners of the Ringmasters.
Right.
And they had an 18-foot ring, but it cut in smaller pieces.
Yeah, I remember that.
And
yeah.
So Ringmasters, I'd caused trouble with them and they weren't going to do any favors. So the guy said no, and he had every right to. I have a ton of respect for the guy. He said, "No, I'm not helping Mike Davidson." So we got the call back that ring would not be available to bail us out. And then theoretically we could have called somebody with a 16-foot ring, but I believe it or not, I was like, "No, it's got to be an 18-foot ring." So Jeff said, "Does the welder say it will compromise the integrity?" He said, "Over time it will, but right now it won't. Like, they can get it strong for tonight." And I said, "How long over time?" And he said, "It could be 10 years. I said, "Okay, well, then let's cut it in half." So they cut the ring. They cut the metal pieces in half, and then they put it back together.
That's crazy. Yeah. That is a crazy story.
And I think the welder gave us a deal, but it had to be a several $100 welding bill.
Well, yeah, to get him to weld indoors.
Yeah, he had to bring his mobile welding kit and
into the ballroom.
Yeah, so I have had a situation like that, but that was the day of. You had to do something.
Boy, that itself, that's a tough, that gives me anxiety. Oh, yeah. Tell that story.
Yeah. So I feel for Primos in that situation. I've never had it. But that's that. As for Danny Duggan's CWE, they announced that they're going to Ontario on their next tour after their Western Canada tour wraps up. And they had Savio Vega for Western Canada. They announced D'Lo Brown is coming to Ontario, Thunder Bay, Sault Ste. Marie, Sudbury, and a few other communities. Fort Frances and Dryden are on that list, and they have a few other communities on the list. D'Lo Brown's a great name. I think he's been in for CWE before.
Yes, he has.
Yep. So I think Ontario's going to be happy with that. CWE also has their show coming up on the Point to Prove tour in Winnipeg. Off the top of my head, it's Mentolo and Tyler Colton taking on James Roth and Danny Duggan. There's a 10-man tag, which includes the Cannon Corporation and Red Hot Summer. I don't remember all the other guys in that. Shane Madison takes on Jackson Conway. I saw that Ronnie Attitude and Johnny Malibu are teaming up. That's going to be a great show. It's at Holy Eucharist Gym on Friday night, May the 3rd, two nights after AEW comes here for Dynamite. Tickets for AEW Dynamite, which we would normally talk about in the next segment, they're moving. They've gone up a little bit. They're within 825 of their 4,000-person target. I would hardly call that a sellout because...
It's not a very good target for when they had what they had. You know, last time they were here.
AEW has lost a lot of momentum in the Winnipeg market, and that's disappointing and sad. Hopefully they get it back, but that's not a Winnipeg issue. That's an AEW issue. And people are asking what's going on with Wrestling United, the project that myself and my partner Zach Kreiser have put together. And we've hired some people. We have a booking consultant or a lead creative guy, and Liam Phillips is back. It's like a reunion for him and
That's
I.
That's exciting.
That's good. Yes. Jeffrey Scott from, he's a Border City Wrestling Hall of Famer.
That's right.
He was a TNA ring announcer at one point. He's coming in to ring announce the show. We've announced that Antonio Scorpio's on the show. We have finally announced our main events.
We did?
Yes, we did. It's All Ego, Ethan Page taking on Tommy Lee Curtis, the Jack Jesus. And people said, okay, how did you come up with that as the main event? And I'll tell you, Ethan Page is one of the best Canadian wrestlers there is today. He's had a great career. He's an All Elite Wrestling star. He's under contract. Doesn't get a lot of TV time right now, which is disappointing. But... we had to find the right heel for him. And I'll tell you where we came up with this. I have paid attention to Cloud9 Wrestling with their success in Minot, their success in Brandon. And I've watched a lot of their matches. And I watched a match between Tommy Lee Curtis and Jack Ledger. And I was like, geez, he's gotten so good. And I mean Tommy Lee Curtis. And we had him on the podcast probably well over a year ago. And I said to him, like, you've really come into your own. He was trained by Lance Storm.
Yep.
He is a great heavyweight. He looks great. He has command of his gimmick. He's a ring general. He's somebody that, honestly, he's like a core guy for what Wrestling United wants to be. Good heels who make good baby faces better. I think it's a great match. I'm excited about it. Tommy Lee Curtis is definitely... one of the best heavyweight heels there are anywhere in the region, and it's going to be perfect.
He's one of the guys who I would say, if somebody asked me, you know, who should I look at in terms of figuring out how to do character, him, because his character is fully defined and fully formed, whereas a lot of guys end up with characters that are kind of like, what's the deal here? Like, I'm not picking on this guy, but I'll just say his name, Malcolm Lovechild, for example.
You can't compare these two.
I know you can't, but when you see his character, you're like, okay, so he's supposed to be kind of a hippie throwback thing, but like the only thing I'm getting hippie throwback from him is his name.
Could you have picked anyone polar? Like,
I know. I'm going to get dragged for this.
You've got one of the very best in Tommy Lee Curtis. And then you went with one of the guys that has the greatest amount to improve.
And he's a young guy, and I don't have a problem with him. I shook his hand at a show, and I said he did good, and he did do good at that show I was at. Like, I'm just using it as a way of an example. It's like, you got to have a character that it's just like the wrestling match. There needs to be a beginning, middle, end. You need to know exactly what your character is.
Ethan Page wanted to see footage of who he was wrestling, and he watched Tommy Lee Curtis, and he said, wow.
Yeah.
This guy is something else. And he said he's good old school heel. And he said he's going to give me a run. And that's exactly what fans should want to see. That's exactly what fans should be excited about. And that's going to be on Wrestling United. That's Thursday night wrestling, May 16th. And somebody said, what is this whole Thursday night wrestling thing, right? And they don't, they think, oh, that Thursday night wrestling, well, it's just the night it's on. Well, let me tell you something. Monday Night Football, huge. Yep. Thursday night wrestling is going to be huge. Monday Nitro, Monday Night Raw, Saturday night main event. You identify by your night.
Yeah.
What that tells the fan base, and let me tell you, when we produce events, we want to produce on Thursday nights. And I'll tell you why. When I broke in as a rookie in 1995 at Chalmers Community Club, it was Thursday night wrestling. It was bi-weekly Thursdays at Chalmers Community Club. And that's the night that they chose to make wrestling good. But before that, the first show I ever went to was at the Winnipeg Arena. It was a Thursday night way back when I was 3 years old. So that would have been 1982.
Ooh.
When the AWA was coming to Winnipeg every third week and putting 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 people in the Winnipeg Arena, the smoke-filled Winnipeg Arena. That's that's what people grew up on in this market. When WWF took over from AWA, guess what? They came Thursday nights to Winnipeg because that's what the market was trained to embrace.
Yes.
Back in 2001, when Bobby J took over, when he was running TRCW and he moved us into the Palladium, it was Thursday night wrestling every Thursday. And then PCW made their existence on Thursday night wrestling at the Palladium, the Lid, and then eventually became Thursday nights at Dillon's, although I don't think they were weekly at that point.
Traditionally, Thursday night is a great, amazing
wrestling night. Yeah. And that's why Thursday night wrestling, when somebody said, well, why didn't you give a cute and clever name like Harsh Reality or Larger Than Life? And I was like, I could think of a million of those. Right? If I sat here and brainstormed with you and when Shane Madison's in studio, I could come up with 35 of them. But the thing is they're cute. They're catchy. Sometimes they're they cause trouble.
Yeah.
Like if you called it, I've got a conflict or a conflict, whatever. If you called it, hostile territory, it would sound like I'm trying to make the territory hostile. I'm going to take over everything. I wouldn't want something subtle to end up causing, you know, consternation or insecurity.
Okay, so let's dig into the nitty gritty. How are tickets moving for the show? And who is ELP going to face?
Okay, so tickets are moving extremely well. So we're still 3 weeks out. Some people are waiting, but I'm amazed at first-time buyers. We're getting there on VIP tickets. We had a very fixed amount of VIP tickets and they're almost gone. And,
grab those while you can.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a really successful first show. It's going to make a statement, and that statement is we were dealt a hand, which we knew going in, it was going to be different. So we put together a roster and we still haven't announced all of that roster, but we had a roster that was going to be different, but very, very high quality. And yes. I'll tell you something that went into this. We will not go below a certain threshold of talent. So if the option was, hey, you can get this guy for a very inexpensive rate, but he's, you know, a lot of people aren't sure he's good enough. Then I just said, no, we're going to go a different way and we're going to make it work a different way. And so if you see it, like, let me tell you, Antonio Scorpio and Tyler James and TJ Cannon and, you know, Shane Madison and ELP and Ethan Page and Tommy Lee Curtis. That's a pretty good lineup. There's not a lot of weaknesses in that lineup, right? And then if I had to then go and say, okay, I'm going to have to go outside and bring somebody in. Well, the original vision was to try to get guys from top talent to come into Winnipeg for this and give us a little bit of that top talent recipe. We originally wanted to get some guys from First Wrestling in Minneapolis. Unfortunately, they have their date coming up 2 days later, so we couldn't. We made sure that the fan base in Winnipeg is going to come and they're going to see, holy, you know, ELP, New Japan Pro Wrestling star, he currently holds a tag team title in New Japan.
Yeah.
That's as good as it's going to get, right? He's going to give us a certain kind of match that's incredible. That's what a position to be in.
It's not going to be something you've seen.
So when you say, who's he going to wrestle? Everyone thinks, oh, well, the logical choice is insert the name that everybody has on the tip of their tongue. Well, maybe it's not going to be him because it doesn't, in the case of ELP, we know we've got magic. El Fantasmo is one of the best wrestlers in the world. So is Ethan Page. Like, you talk about it. Think of the value you're getting in terms of two feature matchups, right?
Yeah.
This is perfect storm for us. And what fans are going to see is, wow, like these guys. And in their mind, they're going to be like, what if you intermingle wrestler A from the Wrestling United show and you take the best guy from WPW or CWE? This is great. WPW and CWE have the AJ Sanchez influenced training system.
Yes.
Feeding the talent into those two companies. It's worked wonderfully. And I give them high accord for what they've done. We went a different way so that we could be completely different. Not, hey, I'm going to be better than you. Everyone says that's the Mike Davidson way. I've got to be better than everyone. No. I just need to be different then.
Yes.
And that's what we're going to accomplish in this. And I can't wait. But as for me telling you, I could be a stooge right now and tell you exactly who El Fantasmo is going to wrestle. I know exactly who he's going to wrestle. But I'm sorry, Chris. I'm going to leave you in the dark on this one.
He's going to be wrestling me.
No, he is not.
This episode of Bee She's Wrestling is powered by First Row Collectibles, Canada's online and in-person collectible store, where you'll find the coolest sports cards, autographs from your favorites, and of course, wrestling collectibles galore. As a loyal Bee's She's Wrestling listener, you can get a discount on your purchase using the code Bee's She's. That code is B-E-E-Z-S-H-E-E-Z, one word, to get 10% off. Visit the store online, firstrow.ca, or instead of click and order, go brick and mortar. Meet the guys at First Row in person, 1835 Main Street, Winnipeg, Manitoba. First Row Collectibles, Canada's online and in-person collectible store.
I hate doing this. And I don't mean Bee She's Wrestling. I love Bee She's Wrestling. I love all the people who have shirts, wear them around town. We still have one or two left. I have a couple people in my email that actually 2 weeks old. I'm sorry, I've been a little bit slow at responding. It's because I'm doing this Wrestling United thing and it's dividing my attention. So sorry.
More shirts coming.
More shirts coming. In fact, there is one coming that says Bee She'ser on it.
Ooh.
I can't wait. I'm going to wear that one. I might even wear it to AEW on May 1st. Okay. So let me tell you where I was wrong. And I'm going to tell you first who told me. Mrs. J. Walker, Charlene, sent me a message. She said, you must hate being wrong every week when you talk about the bigs. And I was like, I'm right way off, way more than I'm wrong. And she kind of laughed at me. I said last week, it's impossible that Cody will ever go to SmackDown. It should have been impossible.
It should have been.
The show is changing networks, and it's going to the USA Network, where Raw is currently on. Maybe they think, oh, well, same network. Cody's going to carry the crowd over from Monday to Friday. But I believe WWE Monday Night Raw on Netflix is going to be the bigger deal.
Well,
yes, it is.
It is going to be a bigger deal, but
you're going to give me a different analytic that isn't legitimate, but let's hear it.
This is 100% legitimate. I read it today. Netflix is no longer releasing numbers for shows. So Raw is not going to be something that's going to be, they've done this rating or they've done this many households. They're not releasing that to the public anymore. So it's a little bit less important. Numbers are still going to be important on Thursday night for SmackDown because they're going to be on terrestrial TV.
So you're the thought pro. Who's is this? Dave Meltzer?
This is not Dave Meltzer. This is Netflix released this.
Okay,
today.
But who wrote that this isn't going to be important?
An article. I don't know.
Okay,
I don't remember the name of the article.
Here's the reality of this, though. USA. They know what the ceiling is for USA. Their Monday Night Raw on USA right now is as hot as it's ever been. But there's less people watching TV live. That's why they're not doing the numbers they did 25 years ago. So, okay. So when it moves to Friday, which is going to be a little tougher night than Monday, but it will work. That's going to be the reach that SmackDown can get on USA. It's going to be the Monday Night Raw reach on Friday.
But they've got to maintain that reach.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Yes, yes. But I think Netflix is bigger than USA. And I think the fact that people can watch it live on Monday. See, the reason why WWE is very comfortable with knowing, hey, we don't have to prove a number on Tuesday from Raw is because just because the episode goes live as they produce it live wherever they are, that show will be watched maybe twice by people, someone who watches it Monday and then, oh, I want to rewatch it on Wednesday. And people who don't watch it Monday will watch it Wednesday. By the time that week is over, it will be watched more than...
Oh, I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all, but I'm just saying the numbers are more important on a network where you need advertisers to fill the coffers. Whereas on Netflix, that's not the same. It's a different animal.
So you believe...
I'm not saying it's more important.
So you believe...
Here we go.
The WWE is going to put more emphasis on the Friday SmackDown show?
I think they're going to try to... I don't think they're going to put more emphasis. I think they're going to try to bring it up. Bring it up to the Raw level because there's always been this perception, except for when Paul Heyman was booking it, that SmackDown was the B show.
No.
I think they're going to try to erase that.
SmackDown, the B show, ceased to exist when it was on network TV on Fox for the last 4 years. They really put everything they could behind SmackDown for three out of those 4 years. Mm. And then Fox said, we're not renewing. And then they were like, okay, well, then Raw can be the hot show. Roman Reigns is on SmackDown for a reason. But now your home for SmackDown is the old home from Raw. Yeah. It's USA.
And you want to hang on to those people.
You're never going to lose
them. And you want to sell the advertisement.
USA Network is always going to want to be in bed with WWE. They've had a relationship with the exception of the time where they went to Spike TV or they went to TNN. Yeah. It's always been WWE and USA Network dating back to 1984 or 85. I don't think they're going to change from that. But I was surprised because Cody should have been the focal point of their Netflix transition. And so, okay, I was wrong. He did end up going to SmackDown. I can admit that, but I'm still right. He should have been the face of the show on Netflix where they really have an opportunity to do something special into the streaming world. The world is going streaming, and anybody who thinks, oh, well, you know, more and more people cut that cable cord, and now that live sports is going to start going to Amazon Prime, eventually to Netflix, less and less people are going to care about commercial television and cable TV and even network TV. Listen, in Canada, I'm a guy who doesn't even know what's going on in the news anymore because you can't share it to Facebook. So now I don't even have a cheat way of finding out what's going on. I have no idea what happened in the budget. Is Justin Trudeau, Pierre Trudeau still the prime minister?
Is Pierre Trudeau or behind?
How's Brian Mulroney doing?
Apparently,
he recently passed away.
Did he?
Yes, but I didn't learn that from TV news, and I didn't learn it from Facebook because for some reason the Canadian government thinks it's a good idea to block news from Facebook because they don't pay for it. Okay, now you have a whole bunch of uninformed people walking around because we all follow Facebook. At least you could put some news on there so we might stay up to speed. Sorry for the rant. It's not a political rant.
I like the rant.
It's a frustrated rant. I never know what's going on. unless I seek out information now, I have nothing. I have no idea what's going on except for in wrestling. I am dialed in. I am not out of touch, let me tell you.
Not 13 years, not even one year.
Not even one day out of touch. Come on. Maybe a week out of touch. I did not see this Cody thing coming. Charlene, thank you. Thank you. How about everyone else? Pile on every time Mike is wrong.
And send a voice message when you do, because I would love to hear your voice. Take Mike Davidson down a peg.
No. Listen, I can get it wrong. A lot of this show is me telling you what I think should happen. A lot of this is, hey, I believe that this is, and I'll say, I believe, and sometimes I'm wrong, but a lot of times I'm right. And that's what I mean. Rhea Ripley got hurt. That's a big blow to their roster. Yes. That's like CM Punk going down. She is the most dominant female in the game, and she had to vacate the WWE. What woman's title was it? See, this is when you have too many titles.
The women's title.
Just
the women's title, I believe.
It wasn't the Intercontinental title?
The other one is the world's title.
Okay, so it wasn't the Intercontinental title.
It was not the Intercontinental.
It wasn't the U.S. title.
It could be.
It wasn't the Cruiserweight title.
That's true.
We're pretty sure it's the women's title.
Yes, pretty sure. Do they have a Cruiserweight title anymore?
I don't think so, because they got rid of 305 Live or 605 Live.
It's too bad. I like that.
505 Live.
Yeah, whatever.
I think it was 205 Live.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay, we got to stop with these 05 things, right? 205 was the weight, right?
I got a hankering for some Five Alive.
Five Alive. There you go. International PLEs. So the big five, which I believe is Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. Maybe there's a fifth one. I don't know. They're all going to be in domestic North America, whether that's Toronto or all those American cities. But there's going to be more international PLEs. I don't know really what that means. I think it's going to be, as WWE tries to hit their global footprint, as they like to say, they're going to spread the love. They're going to go to probably the UK. They went to Australia or New Zealand. They're going to probably try to go to Japan again and do a premier live event.
Do you think they'll hit Saudi Arabia again? Given the tumultuous nature of what's going on there now, Saudi Arabia just launched a bunch of rockets.
I don't know this, though.
I know. I'm teaching you right now.
Because they block it on Facebook. I don't know what's going on in the world.
Mike Davidson, it is up to you to inform yourself.
This is wrong. When you cut off free media, a guy like me is sitting there going, I have no idea what's going on outside.
But yeah, that just happened. It makes me wonder.
There's bombing going on in the world?
Yeah. Yeah. They launched a bunch of rockets at Israel.
Has Ukraine won the war yet?
No.
Okay.
No.
This is why you got to let that stuff come on Facebook.
It is.
I have no idea what's going on.
I feel like we could go down several roads with this one.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll back off because it sounds like a political rant.
Yes.
But in a real society, don't you think people should be able to, fake news on Facebook. Listen, I usually could tell the difference between real and fake. Like, do I believe, I don't know.
You're not going to like my answer because it's a very fence-sitting answer.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely on the fence with this one. I see your point clearly.
Yes.
100%. I also see the point of these guys should be paying for this.
Facebook should be paying for me to share a story that I think is interesting.
Should be paying the news outlets because they're making money off of the story that CBC, let's just use CBC. CBC writes a story. Facebook puts it on Facebook and then gets to put ads on it and make money off of it. They don't give any money to CBC or CTV or TSN or anybody.
How about this? The Canadian government subsidizes a lot of those networks anyway.
It's true.
Yes. So stop. Shut up.
No. Make the money, okay, so they don't have to subsidize.
I'm sorry that I'm in a non-wrestling debate here. We are living in a country where Rogers, Bell, all those companies, there's three companies that can give you a cell phone. It's monopolizing a marketplace because they don't believe in a free market system.
Agreed.
So then Rogers gets to sit there, we think that your cell phone bill should be $180. And guess what? We only have two competitors, so go F yourself. You know what? In a real world, 14 places would come out and someone would say, hey, we can do it for $35. And everyone would go for $35. And Rogers would be like, we can't figure out how come we can't compete. It's because you guys are greedy and the Canadian government pushes you into this.
I'm so glad.
Our podcast is going to get pulled because ripping on the people that can take us
down. I'm so glad the CRTC does not have any reach over podcasts yet, although they've tried.
Why don't I just start ripping on Apple?
Kidding.
Okay, now let's move on to AEW, and it might seem like I'm feisty today. I really am not.
He's very feisty.
No, I'm not. I'm just telling you, I feel uninformed about the world, except for wrestling. I'm very informed. Okay, AEW in Winnipeg, their tickets are about $3,200, as we said in the last segment. For some stupid reason, let me rephrase that, because it sounds like I'm picking on Tony Khan, and I respect Tony Khan. I don't want to say stupid reason and then talk about Tony Khan, and then people say, I think I called him stupid. He talked about mutual hate between AEW and WWE recently. Like, it's a big battle and WWE wants to screw with AEW. Does he realize something here? That AEW went out and overbid on Okada, overbid on Ospreay, overbid on Mercedes Moné, and all WWE said is, well, we're pretty hot right now. We can let those three go. You didn't see WWE go, we lost this one. We're going to go scoop two of their talents from underneath and screw with them. No, this is not the Monday Night War. This is not it's not even a competition.
No.
And the second Tony Khan wakes up to the reality that it's not a competition right now between WWE and AEW, he then can pivot and focus on his strengths and not, counter-programming and this or that. He could then focus on making AEW the strongest it can be. That would be the smart move. Yeah. Stop even thinking about what WWE is doing. He did this last year going into Wembley when he sat there and he said, we set a record or something, whatever it was he was saying back then that made that Wembley show was better than anything one day that WWE did. Meanwhile, WWE as a year had their best year ever last year.
Yes.
What? You beat them one day, but they still had their best year. Who do you think won that one?
He's not good to have that mindset of they are our enemy. Sometimes that can drive a promotion forward or a business forward. Or if you watch the Michael Jordan documentary on Netflix, you know how he'd like to make it personal. So he got mad before the game. That works if you're really, really good in the first place. But if you're Tony Khan, and I'm not saying he's not really, really good, but he's new.
He's distracted.
Exactly where I'm going. He gets distracted by his own hatred for these other guys.
I don't even think at this point.
And the ship goes off course.
I don't even think at this point he hates WWE.
I think he does more than ever.
No. You know what it is? He doesn't know who to be mad at for why he will probably not ever be recognized as Booker of the Year again. Because he's like, I was the best in his mind. And I don't know this, but he's probably thinking, I was the best booker in the industry for 4 years straight. Dave Meltzer said so. And now he's like, and I still am, damn it. And he won't realize that the fan base that was giving him every benefit of the doubt has now seen every reason to doubt. And that's his problem. He needs to take 10 steps back or identify the next guy who can come in. There is a time where every creative person needs to take 3 months off and breathe and watch and rethink, and somebody has to come in. Whether that's a temporary person or if that temporary person catches steam, you let them keep going.
Yep.
You always have to have that thought in your mind. Okay, there's going to come a day where my ideas aren't the best ones, and then I'm going to have to go to the person who does have the best ones for a little bit. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not the end of the world.
No, it's the same thing we've always said, though. If he would surround himself with people that aren't sycophant yes men, then he could learn something. That's what rich people who really want to get, who want to master a new skill, they surround themselves with experts and they learn from them. They don't say, no, we're booking it this way, and you sit over in the corner, whoever, Arn Anderson or Jake Roberts, or you don't know anything about this. Like, there's no way that Arn Anderson or Jake Roberts or Tully Blanchard or any of the guys they hired that we thought were going to be helping out ever helped out.
So when I worked for Jeff Dick, not necessarily on wrestling, because on wrestling I won the battle and I was going to call the shots. By 2010, the last time he was involved with wrestling, I was calling the shots and he was giving me full reign to do what I needed to do and wanted to do. Other than, you could tell there was a lot of Jeff Dick influence on us, on our use of reality TV stars. But in 2012 or 13, we were doing something, we were launching a smartphone app, and it was a struggle because it was a startup. But he, and this is not wrestling related, but he did not want me there because I was going to be the guy that was going to say, well, if we try marketing this way and we try this initiative and if we think differently, we can maybe accomplish this. He wanted people, he'd call us all to the whiteboard and he just wanted us to sit there and nod as he told us his vision.
Yeah, that's
okay. He wanted us to say, oh, this is good. Oh, this is a good job. Yep, this is good.
That's what's going on there.
And that's what I think Tony Khan would like right now. I used to think, and I'll tell you, when we're putting together Wrestling United, to give you a contrast, and WFX back in 2010, when I was in touch then, and I guess I've regained the touch, I don't know.
You're touching everything now.
But now, I talk to people, and I want them to tell me, where am I wrong here? And I always say to somebody, okay, tell me where I'm wrong, or tell me how I can get this right. And we'll have a conversation, and I'll say, have you thought of this? What about this? I had a talk like that last night with Jeff Scott, the ring announcer, the guy who's coming in, Border City Wrestling Hall of Famer. And he said, have you thought of this? Have you thought of this? Have you thought of this? And I'm taking notes the whole time. I said, I thought of some of this stuff, but I like the way you're presenting the idea. I want to learn from people, right? I want to learn from people about the podcast. I want to learn from people about YouTube. I want to learn from people about everything. If I knew everything, and Charlene's right, maybe I know nothing. I need people who will tell me, hey, change this or do that. And that's what Tony Khan needs. I'll tell you that right now.
If you're not willing to be wrong, nothing great will ever happen.
Let's go to the mailbag.
Welcome. You've got mail.
Two questions in the mailbag this week. You can get yours on by sending us an email, totalbshes@gmail.com, Instagram, bshes wrestling, totalbshes on Twitter, bshes wrestling on Facebook, and for the love of heck, give us a voice clip. Send us a voice clip. You know what happens when you send us a voice clip? If we have anything in the prize pants, it goes to you usually. That's what happens. We open up the prize pants, we pull out a shirt, we pull out a whatever, and it might go to you. So send us a voice clip. We love it.
Maybe even some Wrestling United tickets one day.
Oh.
I'm not saying.
Never even thought of that.
I have to talk to my business partner.
Mike Davidson buttering the people up. Okay. First question. This one is coming in from Jay. He says, when MJF's contract has come due, do you think WWE should push for him or should they just let him go?
I know what Shane Madison would say. Dude, they don't need him.
They don't need him, but I would push for them.
I think there would obviously be conversation. First and foremost, when MJF becomes a free agent, he's going to establish he is a free agent, that he wants to be a free agent. He then is going to go from there and open his negotiating window. And he'll listen out to it. He'll probably have a preference of where he wants to be. Now, if that's WWE, then he'll want to negotiate there and money won't be the number one obstacle. If he wants the most money, he's already been a top guy in AEW. The one thing is, to me for certain, if he's got contract time right now, he can't be sitting because they have these weird things in those contracts.
Well, they'll add it on at the end.
Adds on to the end. Yeah. So it's not even like he can just be waiting out the end of a contract. So whatever it is, why he's not on TV, he's either banged up or whatever. And I believe he's probably banged up or whatever. I'm going to keep saying whatever. I think in the end, WWE would have a good long conversation, find out where MJF's at. And if MJF wants to go and be a part of the number one company, he's going to make that choice because he's had 4 or 5 years of All Elite. For him, he should want to go to WWE because even if it doesn't hit quite the same, think of what he could do in a program with LA Knight. Think of what he could do in a program with Cody there. Think of what he could do with...
Well, you've got a built-in program with Cody, too.
Yes.
And they can play, they can blur that line and play with it and sort of make reference to the other place, but not really. You know what I mean?
I have to assume Ricky Starks is going to go to WWE when his contract's up.
I would say so.
But then I thought QT Marshall was going to, like, when he established that he was free, I thought he was going to go get a job maybe at NXT, and that didn't happen.
No, I think he's just training for...
And back with All Elite.
Yeah, with All Elite. He's training the Rhodes Academy, maybe?
Yeah, I think that's what he was doing.
So okay.
But for as it relates to MJF, I don't think there's a clear-cut path, but I think it's got to be... Imagine he became a free agent tomorrow. I think it's 50-50 he ends up in AEW, 50-50 he ends up in WWE. And the reason it's not one way or the other is the guaranteed money from Tony is probably a little greener.
I would agree with that. I think the right move is WWE, but I'm worried that he's just going to sign with... All Elite again because the money is going to be better.
Yeah, and it's been proven with the last 3 or 4 free agents.
He'll be a bigger star with WWE and probably make more money, which is a sales pitch they give guys. Like, you might not make as much, but with merch and blah, 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 all these extra extraneous things, you will. This one coming in from Shell, Chelle. So I don't know if that's Michelle or somebody just named Shell, but Shell says, I'm super pumped up about Wrestling United.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear. Is Wrestling United ever going to be a traveling outfit, or is it just going to be in Winnipeg?
Ooh. As of right now, the plan, and let me preface this. If I say it on the podcast, one, I believe it, and two, it's the truth. I'm not out here to bullshit. It's called Bees She's Wrestling, not because I plan to Bees She's y'all. It's because we all have the same common vision that we're all Bees She'sers. So whatever I say, and I'll tell you if it ever changes, and I'll say, well, you know, I thought this, but I can see that. Where I'm at today, it's a lot of work just doing Winnipeg. If you talk to Devin and Ben, they'll tell you, gosh, it's a lot of work just doing Winnipeg. And if you listen to Danny, he'll tell you it's an extreme amount of work to do everything in addition to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I think I would say that traveling road show... It would have to be something that made so much sense that you couldn't not do it. Right?
Yeah.
Like, it'd have to be an exciting opportunity. There would have to be some costs, like either sponsorship,
some money, or sponsorship
guarantee of some sort. And even then you have to be chasing that. And trust me, my counterparts, my friends, they're already chasing it. So I don't mean to disappoint, but I think right now the vision of Wrestling United is promote an amazing event. You know, have talent that makes people go, this is interesting. This is going to be something unique. This is going to be different. And then if the first show goes good, make sure you have a plan for a second and maybe a third, maybe 4 or 5 events a year. If it works. And if we find out it doesn't work, we really did everything right. I think it's judging. I know that people seem to think it's going to work. I believe it's going to work. So we're going for it. And I'm encouraged. Things are going good. You can hear it in my voice. I'm excited. And
I thought you were going to be loaded with dread by now, by the way. But you seem to be very sprightly.
I'm very lucky. Zach Kreiser has done outstanding work. Like,
he sure has.
He has made this a lot easier for me so that I can focus on what I need to focus on, which was my strength. And he provides so much other strength. So you know what? It's going to be a really great event. It's fixing to be well attended. I don't just want to talk about Wrestling United in the mailbag, but I'm excited. And you know what? Let's talk about other events. What's going on in the event center?
This is your Bishi's Wrestling Event Center. We start in British Columbia, Thursday, April 25th, and Friday, April 26th, WrestleCore is in Vancouver. Friday, April 26th and Saturday, April 27th, Boom Pro Wrestling comes to Vancouver. Friday, April 26th, Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling is in Port Alberni. Saturday, April 27th, Vancouver Island Pro Wrestling comes to Duncan. We shift to Alberta. Thursday, April 25th and Friday, April 26th, Love Wrestling is in Edmonton. Friday, April 26th, Can-Am Wrestling comes to Okotoks. And Saturday, April 27th, Can-Am Wrestling returns to Calgary. We move to Saskatchewan. Saturday, April 27th, Best Entertainment Wrestling comes to Arborfield. Sunday, April 28th, Canadian Wrestling's Elite comes to Estevan. Monday, April 29th, Canadian Wrestling's Elite is in Carlisle. Tuesday, April 30th, Canadian Wrestling's Elite comes to Yorkton. And finally, into Manitoba. Saturday, April 27th, Canadian Wrestling's Elite is in Rivers. And finally, Sunday, April 28th, Winnipeg Pro Wrestling comes to Winnipeg for Fight at the Museum. And that has been your BSHE's Wrestling Event Center.
Wow, that was a packed event center for the second week in a row, BSHE's Wrestling Event Center. Thanks to the Mecca Shane Madison, who's off tonight. He was able to compile that for us and put it out there. I can tell you this as a wrestler. If I was back when BSHE's was boosting and following, it's exciting when there's this many events. And now with Wrestling United, I think that the fans have so much things that they can get excited about, whether that's Savio Vega, whether that's Jimmy Jacobs, whether that's Josh Alexander, whether that's, you know what, Primo's Wrestling announced Marty Skrull is going to be at their store on May 10th in Grant Park.
Wow.
That's an interesting one.
Very interesting.
Obviously, they're going to run a show with Matt Skrull, or Marty Skrull, not Matt Skrull, Marty Skrull in town. My friends JT and Nick are going to want to strangle me for messing up Marty Skrull's name.
Matt Skrull is his brother.
Interestingly enough, I'm going to tell you a funny story. My buddies, my boys, the guys from the Bombers, JT and Nick, great guys. They make going to work every day a joy. Guess who their favorite wrestlers are?
Ooh, Marty Skrull?
Marty Skrull is Nick's favorite wrestler.
Okay, and the other one?
JT's favorite wrestler is the Outlaw Adam Knight.
What?
I'm not even kidding.
You're not... Is he a listener? Is he a BSHE's?
Yes, that's their introduction to wrestling. And they're going to be coming to Wrestling United on Thursday night for Thursday Night Wrestling on May 16th. But like the number one guy that JT brings up is Adam Knight. And you know what his thing is? An outlaw that slaps a fan has got to be someone that's a loose berserk cannon.
Well, it's outlaw behavior.
Yeah. And he's like, this guy's believable. And it's like, and so let me put that into perspective for you. That is one of my closest friends and he loves Adam Knight. So when everyone's like, oh, you've killed Adam Knight. No. Me talking about Adam Knight made Adam Knight more compelling that people are like, I need to know more about this guy. And that's what I've said from day one. That is what I've said, is by talking about Adam Knight and some of his chicanery, people cared more about Adam Knight. So while people say, oh, you were settling a personal score. No, I wasn't.
So what you're saying is you've gotten Adam Knight over and he's now booked for Wrestling United.
Are you kidding?
No. Oh, okay.
I can tell you how that call would go. Hey, Knight, it's Mike Davidson. Click. Or dring, dring. Call display says Mike Davidson. Click. No answer. He would never take my call. Never would he take my call. Would never happen. It's like when we announced TJ Cannon was on the show and Shane Madison was like, are you kidding me? And I was like, what's the problem? And he was like, nah. And I was like, what's the problem? And he wouldn't answer. He's like, you know what the problem
is. He's got something up his backside about it. I don't know. I don't know what it is either, but we'll leave that.
It is what it is.
So where do we get tickets for Wrestling
United?
You
know where to get tickets.
I do, but they
don't. You go to Eventbrite, you search up Wrestling United, you search up Wrestling United, Thursday Night Wrestling, and you'll find it. Check, you know, search Wrestling United.
That's all you got to do.
That's all you got to do. And you could probably check us out on Facebook. There's links all over our Facebook page at Wrestling United 204. But anyway, If you want to buy tickets, you can also find me on Facebook. You can hit up BG's Wrestling. We'll tell you how to get there. We'll tell you to get to Primo's Wrestling. We'll tell you to get to CWE. We'll tell you how to get to WPW, although they're sold out, and that probably will continue to happen for a long time. In the meantime, and in between time, another edition of BG's Wrestling.